Good morning. Man, I love seeing some of these friendly faces in this place right now. And I don't say that jokingly, I mean that for real. My name is Heath. I'm the lead pastor here at Reach. And we're starting a new series today that's going to last us all through January. And a couple things that I kind of want you to be aware of as we start that thing. We're doing a 21 days of prayer and fasting that's going to start next Sunday, which I'm going to talk about during my sermon, so don't get like super freaked out that you've got to fast to be a part of the church. We'll talk about that in detail. And they're actually on every other seat. There's a piece of paper, an 8x10, that's got ways that you can be praying through the Lord's Prayer and by the Lord's name. And then on the other side, talks about different means and methods of fasting. But our big thing for this series, is actually a word that was used in commonly in Latin words, but it means again or again and again. And so all 5 weeks in January, all the Sundays, we're going to talk about this idea of re-something. And today, as we start off the new year, we're going to talk about recommitting. Because, you know, honestly, most people don't live through the lens of going, life is exactly the way I want it. I mean, there might be a few of you in here that, like, you've just hit a rhythm and life is perfect and you're excited about tomorrow. But I would say most of us in here are glad that the year is over and are at least somewhat hopeful that we're entering into a new year. And so what we want to do over the next 5 weeks is really focus on the reality that it is partially, and I'll talk about this, on us for our relationship with Jesus. Like, if we're dissatisfied with our spiritual life, we can blame it on as many external things that we want and stay exactly where it is. Or we can take responsibility and change a few things to make this year different. And this is primarily why we do 21 days of prayer and fasting in January, because in our minds, we're thinking new. Like, people may have already sat down with your families and talked about what your goals are for this year and what you want to do. And some people have already, you know, maybe claimed that gym membership in advance of January. And you're like, you know, this is the year that I'm going to get in shape. You know, and that's just in our brain. Our brain is like, we want a better 2017 than 2016. So I'm going to capitalize that for our spiritual life. Because ultimately, you can get as healthy as you want to be by going to the gym, and you can better yourself in millions of different ways that will do nothing for you in the long run. Or you can invest in your soul and in your connection to the Savior, and God can change all the rest. There was a part of a song that we just sang, and I couldn't get my pen until it's out, so if I misquote the song, I'm sorry, but you'll get the gist of it. It says, "Let go, my soul, and trust in him. The wind and waves still know his name." Like, the problem is most of the time we're thinking, oh, you know, I have to make this a better year. Like, I have to just, like, I'm going to get in the Word, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to do these things. And we forget that the one that we're connecting to is put the Holy Spirit inside of his sons and daughters, and the power that we need to do what is necessary is already in us. And so what we want to do during this re-series is we want to reconnect to the living Word, we want to reconnect to the living God, and we want to reconnect to the Spirit, the inheritance that God has already given us. I mean, like, it's in us. The power that you need is deposited in you if you are a son or daughter. And if you're not, it is an easy transaction of surrender in your life, and God fills you with everything that you need to be what you need. And so this week is going to be, we're going to talk about an ugly word that most people don't like. I don't like, just to be honest. It's called discipline. Like, you know, it's like one of those words that we know it's a good thing, and we know that if we could be disciplined in certain areas that our life would be better, and our waistline would be better, and our bank accounts would be better, and our credit cards would be lower. Especially coming after Christmas, everybody's thinking about, like, let's tighten things up. And so what I want to do this morning is somewhat talk about fasting to lead up to next week, because the reason why we're not starting today is because, you know, you just came off the holidays, and if we started today, like, it would be like hit the ground running and you would probably trip and fall. So we want to give you a whole week to prepare and to really allow God to say, this is what I'm calling you to do over these 21 days. Not an impulse, not like, okay, I'm going to fast. I'm not going to eat anything for 21 days. And if you've never done that, like, whew. I mean, like, I'm going to water fast and it's going to be great, and it can be great, but like, I don't want to push people into something that they feel obligated to do. I really want the Holy Spirit to spend its time in you, or not its time, his time in you this week, going, this is what I'm calling you to fast. This is what I'm calling you to separate. And so we're going to talk about self-control a little bit, and then go into fasting, just in case we think, you know, fasting's, you know, not something we're called to do. Jesus actually in Matthew 6 talks about fasting, so we're going to talk about that a little bit, but let's get into the Word, but let's pray first. Dearly Father, we just thank you that, Lord, we're not here alone. Lord, you've not called us to be superstars and, you know, just crazy disciplined people without your help. Actually, we're utterly going to fail without you. And so, Lord, as we sit here in this room and as I communicate your word, Lord, I pray that your word would have the power that you say it has, that it would divide soul and spirit, that it would divide joint and marrow, Lord, that you would literally let the word pierce our soul. And Lord, I pray that there would be no condemnation about what was, but Lord, there would be only hope in what you can create in us, your children, as we say no to our flesh and we say yes to you. So Lord, thank you that you have not left us alone. Thank you that you've given us your word, that it can show us what you've called us to be and to do. And so we just invite your Holy Spirit to have his way with us. Lord, I pray that on the end of today, Lord, that you would just begin to stir something that wouldn't stop, that you would set things in motions that would radically change our relationships and our marriages and our lives, Lord, in every aspect, from our home to work, Lord, that we would submit to you and see the power of the living God resurrect the dead in us. And so, Lord, we thank you that you called us your beloved. We pray these things in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. So the first one's going to be in Proverbs 25, 29. And it's going to say man, but like, ladies, you're in that. Let's just say man is a general term. It says, a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. So like, I know self-control, you know, is a hard thing, but like, looking at it through the lens of this proverb is basically like, if you don't have self-control, it is literally allowing yourself to be open to every form of destruction, every person that wants to come in and steal, rob, and destroy you. Self-control is the walls that protect you from yourself. Matthew 26, 41 says, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Like, can I get an amen on that? Like, there's so many days, like I'll be reading, or I'll hear something, or, you know, listen to another sermon, and I'm like, woo, today's going to be different. Like, you know, like, it's just, like, I'm going to be nice to my children. Like, I'm not going to lose my temper. Like, they're going to throw stuff, and I'm just going to, like the peace of the Lord's going to descend on me, and I'm just going to be like, it's okay. It's no problem. I love you. Let's pray and call, you know, and then, you know, of course, the flesh overtakes and you yell at the top of your lungs. There's a book written by Dietrich Bonhoeffer called The Cost of Discipleship, and he has and went through the Sermon on the Mount, and he's got this section on here, this one chapter talking about fasting on Matthew 6, but there's this section I want to read to you that's related to this. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So this isn't me, this is him. It says, it is always true of the disciple that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he must therefore watch and pray. The spirit knows the right way and desires to follow it, but the flesh lacks courage and finds it too hard, too hazardous and wearisome. And so it stifles the voice of the spirit. The spirit attests when Jesus bids us love our enemies, but our flesh and blood is too strong to prevent our carrying it out. Therefore, we have to practice the strictest daily discipline so that discipline, only so can the flesh learn the painful lesson that it has no rights of its own. See, our flesh, when self-control is not there, when we've not set up these disciplines, we allow our flesh to rule. And when our flesh rules, it believes it has a right to rule. Like right now, literally everything that's going wrong in your life is, for the most part, I mean, there might be one scenario that's not, for the most part, is where the flesh has won and has claimed victory and has decided to stay there and to remain in victory while you weakly just, like, oh, I have no other choice. The way we respond, I mean, even me saying, like, with my children, like, I know it's like I can always blame, well, they gave me an attitude, or my daughter rolled her eyes at me, is she in here? You know, or whatever. Like, I can go, well, if she didn't, then I wouldn't. But that's the flesh going, I've lost that, instead of it saying, what we're going to do over the next month, what you're going to do over the next month is tell the flesh that it is not in control. And if you do all the same things that you did before, just like you have, it will remain in control and you will fall into the same pitfalls that you have and we have fallen in over and over again. Galatians 5:22 through 23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Against such thing there is no law. Like, this is what the Holy Spirit gives us. And if we're not walking in those, then we're allowing our flesh to determine who we are, not the Holy Spirit. And see, God's saying, this is the fruit that the Holy Spirit gives us, and one of those is self-control. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 7, it says, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. Like, there is a process for us saying no to the enemy, no to our flesh, and saying yes to the Spirit. And the Spirit, when it gains traction through our obedience to Jesus, changes our world. Like, if you look at the disciples, they were losers. Like, these weren't the A-team. These weren't the team that was going to conquer the world. But they were, because of the strength that God gave them, the chosen people. And that's us. Like, I think sometimes we look at ourselves and our past, and we let our past determine our future instead of allowing God to determine where we go. Just because your life has been a certain way, even to this point, doesn't mean that God doesn't have something totally different for you. Because, I mean, Romans 8 actually says that the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. That resurrected power is in you right now. So, like, whatever your thing is, whatever your thing that you're losing at and you feel that you cannot conquer, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is just waiting, dormant, for you to go, you. Because as long as it's you doing it, you're in trouble. And I know self-control feels like one of those things that's like, well, if I just do all the right things, like if I wake up tomorrow and I do everything correct, then everything's going to be all right. If you don't wake up tomorrow and go, God, I can't do any of this without you. I need you. And with you, I'm going to. Romans 8:37, which is one, it's not going to be up here, which is one of my favorite verses, says that we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. Like, we're not more than conquerors through those who are so self-willed that they achieve what God has done. We're conquerors because of the love of Jesus, because of us submitting to Him. 1 Corinthians 9:24, for all of those that, you know, want to get in the gym, this is kind of your gym verse. This is your run the marathon verse. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Like, all the races I run a little bit, and all the races, like I'm looking for a finish trophy. Not necessarily a number one trophy. I mean, I'm just saying, like, that's the win for me. But you have to work the same way. It says, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do not receive a perishable wreath. See, like in this, like even in our culture now with the Olympics that just came through, like they're running for something to get this medal, gold, bronze, silver medal that says, look, I am the top in this, but it's still perishable. Like at the end of our life, a lot of them get pawned off at some point. Or they get sold. Or they, you know, it seems so valuable that it identifies that this is who I am. But in the long run, it's nothing. It's just like the Super Bowl that we're going to see in February. At the end of the Super Bowl, whoever wins, it starts a new year. And you start all over. And I know everybody's like in there. You know, well, maybe not. I'm not really. But I hear people talk about football. Anyway, don't judge me. See, and they receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So what we're doing right now, like what we're setting in motion over this next 5 weeks is to gain something that will benefit us and our generations that follow for eternity. Like what... You know, if you get, you know, you just knock it out of the park and you save money and increase your bank account and you go to the gym and you decrease your waistline and you do all the things that are necessarily, those are perishable things. But what we're after is to get what will benefit us past today and past 2017. In verse 26, it says, so I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself may be disqualified. See, I don't know about you, and you all have your days that are like kind of chaos for your work and your industry you're in. Mondays are my worst day, just to be honest. Like, so we get ready, we have service on Sunday, and then you overthink I try not to think on Sunday. Like, when I get home, I try not to analyze anything because it just ruins my Sunday. And I'm like, like, why wasn't so-and-so here? Did they not like me anymore? I mean, like, I'm just letting you into my brain. And then, so you try not to think about it on Sunday, but then Monday, the reality hits of, like, whatever. Like, we're 4 years old and we're still in a school. Like, or whatever, attendance, or, like, I feel like I didn't do as well, and like you overthink this. And see, what he's saying here is that we've got to be cautious, not just in the moment when people are watching. Like, honestly, the biggest thing that you can do in your self-control is what you do when no one is watching, which is what he's going to talk about here in just a second in Matthew 6. Is that we want to set ourselves in motion. Like, I am right now training for my first marathon. I felt like about 8 years ago, God said that He had made me to be a runner and I need to learn to enjoy it, and I have not yet. I have a plan. Like, I'm running with another pastor friend of mine, and we run 4 days a week together. And we have a plan that is 18 weeks long that is leading me up to March 25th, where I'm going to run 26.2 miles. And like this plan, like, we're not just like, well, you know, like, I'm not like Alan, Like Alan, we ran a half marathon, and me and my buddy, we trained for that. And Alan, like the week of, he's like, you know, like, I might run that with you guys. I'll sign up for it the day of, and I'm just going to run with you guys because, you know, you guys are awesome. But about 3 miles into it, our slow pace was hurting him, like, because he had to go, you know, he had to change his running because we were so slow, which I think we were going pretty fast. But at the end of the race, that's what he told us. He was just hurting his back to run at like that 8:50 pace. He had to go faster. So I'm not like Alan that can just, you know, go out and knock it out. And most of us aren't either. And so, like, what we're setting in motion right now is having a plan. Like, honestly, the reason why I sign up for races is because it forces me to train. Not necessarily because I want, like, literally the half marathon, like, medal was a martini glass. Like, give me a medal that's got a stamp on it or a martini glass. Like, they're putting this over your neck. I'm like, I don't want that. And the full marathon, you know what you get instead of a t-shirt? Like, everybody wants a t-shirt so you can wear it around and be like, look what I did. They give you pajama bottoms. Like, who wears pajama bottoms? I know ladies, y'all are like, oh, I like pajamas. No. Like, I'm going to preach in them, I guess, so you can see that I've run my 26.2. It's written all over one leg. Wrightsville Beach Marathon. You know, but we have to be the same way. We have to set things in motion because if you leave here today going, yes, I want to reclaim some victory in my life. Yes, I want to walk in faith. And yes, I want to see God do miraculous things. But you don't change anything. You don't set anything in motion. It will be just like it was. The same person that you are right now where you're like dissatisfied with where you are spiritually, it's going to be the same person 6 months from now unless you set things in motion that are going to get you there. And we have on the table, and I only have 10 right now, I think maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less. Last year we gave out the one-year Bible. And all it, and I know that is like, whoo, 1 year. So what it is, it literally, in a book form, it breaks the Bible into a one-day reading. You read a little bit of Old Testament, a little bit of New Testament, Psalm and Proverb every day. And it's, you know what you have to read. If you're anything like me, like you, I need structure. Like I need something when I wake up to say, this is where I'm reading today. Not that you have to stay there, but at least to have a starting point of going, this is what I'm reading today. So the great thing is today is the first. So like if you grab one of those or you have one from last year, it's right there. You open it up and you will start at the beginning. If you don't like the paper version and you're in the 21st century and you want something that you can carry around in your pocket, there's an app that's just, if you type in the Bible app, it's called YouVersion. If you type in Bible under the app, it will be the number one on any platform, Amazon, Android, or Apple. Download it, create your little profile, and there is a reading plan. So if you type in one-year Bible, one of them will literally say one-year Bible. And if you download it today and start it today, you'll be on the same reading pace of the book. So if you start it tomorrow, you're going to be a day behind because it's going to start. It will start day one at whatever day you start it. But if you start it today, like I started mine this morning, partially because I always have this with me, and I got a new Bible this year, and I want to mark in my new Bible. So I just look at what I'm reading here and pull my Bible out, and they're there. So you can grab a paperback version of that on your way out. We'll have a reading for you, or you know, if you that's too much for you. Which I get, like you, I carry around books and stuff with it. You can, right there, own your, so no excuse. Like right now, you could have, like, I don't encourage that while I'm talking. And the great thing about this building is that if you have Verizon, like, good luck. You got to walk outside to get anything. If you have AT&T, it's kind of hit and miss, but, you know, one-year Bible. But if you set that of going, hey, I want to get in. And our best way to connect will always be through the Word. Always be the Word, because the Word is what shows us who God is. Plain and simple. And if you aren't in the Word, like here, and if that's too much, like, let me pull condemnation off, because, like, you'll get behind. Like, just be honest, like, I didn't read every day last year. There were some Old Testament books that I was just like, too much. Like, my bull gored this person, and you're going to get stoned. And if you skip something, that's okay. Like, I want to remove, like, if you miss a day, like, sometimes if you miss 2 days, you're like, I just can't go back. I feel like I've failed, and I'm not good. Just go to the day, open it up to the day's date, and read, and God is good. That's all right. Just the light cut off. Don't be scared. But if you don't set those things in motion, it just won't, you know, it won't happen. It's not going, you're not just going to get into the Word because you want to get into the Word. You have to make a plan for it. And that's what we want to do in recommitting. So here we go in Matthew 6, verse 16, 18. And this is one of Jesus' biggest teachings. He's talking to his disciples here. And his first words, for those that go, you know, well, fasting, you know, that we're not into that. We don't do that. Jesus talking to his disciples, it says, and when you fast. It doesn't say if you fast. It doesn't say, like, if you decide to fast. It says when you fast. It says, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces. They disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Like, whatever you choose to fast, like, my encouragement with you is to have accountability in what you choose to fast. And let that accountability be a small circle. Like, if you decide to fast certain things that are going to be a struggle for you, you know, maybe you decide to do like a Daniel fast and you cut out sugars and coffee and meat and all these things, you know, it will be a struggle. You're going to have headaches. There's going to be, you know, when you throw your diet off there, it's just going to be interesting. And what he's saying here is, like, this fasting is for you to tell your flesh, we're in control. You're not. What he's saying here is like next week, or no, maybe not next week because we're starting next Sunday, the Sunday after, you're like, oh, your hair's all messed up. Like, it's just been such a hard week, but like, praise be the Lord, I am fasting. Like, what he's saying is go take a shower. Like, clean your hair, clean your face, and praise the Lord with where you're at. And so he says here, you know, we don't want to be seen. Like, our goal in fasting is not to, like, rub it in the face of all these other lack of discipline Christians. Like, oh, fast. Are you fasting? Like, I'm doing only water. You put juice in yours? Like, the Lord speaks to me so much more through just water. True, and then he continues on and says, truly I say to you, they have received their reward. So the danger is if we do our fasting for others, you're getting not what you really are choosing to fast for. Like, what stinks about doing a 21-day fast, if you do it for the praise of men, you get to the end of it and you miss everything that God wants to do in and through you. He says, but when you fast, again, when, not if, anoint your head and wash your face. That means comb your hair, put a little product in it, you know, so it looks nice. Anyway, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Like, if you want to reset, you have to tell your body no. And the whole purpose of fasting was for you to teach your body, you are not in control. Like, the desires of our flesh will ruin everything. Like, most, I would say even all relationships are ruined because our flesh became more powerful than the Spirit. Because if you live in the fruits of the Spirit, I mean, like, if you've got joy and love and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control, like, what relationship is going to be soured or ruined if you're walking in that? Like, what ruins everything else is when we allow the flesh to have power over us. And what we want to do, starting next weekend, is decide, like, I'm giving up this. And let me just give you some ideas. If you've never fasted before, there's lots of resources out there. There's lots of materials. Do research this week. But if you've never fasted before, unless the Lord directly speaks this to you, I probably wouldn't recommend starting with a water fast. Maybe a few days, maybe 2 or 3 days, but going 21 days. You know, Jesus did 40, 21. I'm with you, brother. I mean, like, I wouldn't recommend, not saying no, but like, I want you to be successful. And so what fasting may mean for you, it may mean a partial fast. It may mean for you, if coffee is a big deal, it may mean for 21 days you say no. Maybe sugar, like 21 days. I'm not having any sugar in my system. And it'll be a sacrifice. Like, we don't know how addicted we are to sugar until you cut it out. And your flesh will be like, uh-uh. Mm-mm. And then Valentine's will be coming up. I mean, like, if you go to Walmart, they already got the Valentine's candy out. Like, it'll be singing your name. You're like, no sugar. It could be lots of things. Like, for me, usually I do some form of food. Like, I cut something that I'm consuming out, and then I usually do some form of social media. Like, it is removing things that the flesh is feeding off of. For some of us in this room, it may be for 21 days you shut Facebook up. I'm like, don't play with it. Like, don't, like, kind of keep it on. Like, I would say delete it and not destroy your account. So don't freak out. Delete it off your phone. You know, take it off your computer. And just for 21 days, it might be like you will be shocked of how much time we waste in social media. It may mean for you, like, I'm gonna fast 21 days from Netflix. Some of you are like, what is Netflix? Those that, you know, my sister works in the TV industry up in New York, and she's working for this show that's called Binge Worthy. Literally talking about shows that you binge watch. And for those, I mean, maybe imagine how many hours that you will pick up in your month if you cut some of this stuff off. And so, like, our purpose for me to you is having God speak to you over the next 7 days of what does that look like? And it's got to, like, if it's too easy, like, if it doesn't hurt, you need more. Because the purpose of our 21 days is to tell our flesh that God is my king and you are not. Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can do. The key to all of this is realizing that the power to be what you want to be is only in Jesus. I can do all things. It's not like, I think we misuse that verse. Like, I can do whatever. Like, God hasn't called you to do whatever. God has called you to do what he's called you to do. So, like, we can't use that verse like, I can do all things. Like, I can stop paying my credit card because I can do all things. He said that. Through his strength. I'm just going to ignore all their calls. But what that's saying is that without him, you cannot. Without his support during this, without your reliance in him, you cannot. It will be an utter failure. I've had some fasts that I did that were horrible because I chose them. Like, I was trying to be a good Christian and I was going to fast and they were horrible. I did more damage to my marriage and kids. Like, it was like there was no fruit of the Spirit. It was like the fruit of the flesh. I'm just angry. And then I've had some fasts that I feel like God directed me to and were some of the, like, to this day, some of the most influential times in my life of God just speaking to me and giving ear to my word. I mean, you just have no idea. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is who bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Like, I cannot emphasize this enough, and I'm going to invite our worship team to come back up. if this is on your strength and your ability, you may get through it, and you know there might be some things that come out of it, but not what God wants you to have. Like if tomorrow you're like, I'm going to read every day, and you read for the sake of reading, read so you can check it off the box and so you can talk to your other godly Christian friends and go, well, I've read every day this week. Have you read every day this week? Well, the Lord is speaking to me, because like if you've been around church enough, you can pick out a verse that you've heard somebody talk about and like, well, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Or tomorrow we can wake up and say, God, without you I'm lost. And what you have for me is in this word, and I need it. And God can radically change you. So I know this seems kind of like a anticlimactic end, but I need it to be you. Like, I need you to decide that you want more for yourself, that you want God to do what you wanted him to do the entire time. Like, you want that life, you want the life of abundance and of joy and peace that he promises, and it is your flesh that is robbing you of that. And so let's kick flesh in the teeth over the next 21 days. Let's decide that, and it's going to be difficult. Like, I'm telling you, if flesh has been king, he's not just going to turn over rule and reign. We're going to fight. And see, the beauty of even Ephesians, where it talks about the armor of God, like you put on all this battlement, you get a sword, you get a helmet, you get this breastplate, you get the belt, you get the shoes, and all God asks you to do is stand. Because it's his. He is the victory. But we have to play the part. We have to play our part. We have to be battle ready. But really, the victory is going to come from God. And so it's time for us. It's time for me. It's time for you to decide, I want to get battle ready. Like, I want to put on the armor of God. I want to be prepared to fight the battle that God has called me to. And let's just see what 2017 could be with just a handful. Today, we're in a middle school having church in North Carolina because of 11 guys who couldn't even pull themselves together and ran off in fear. Those 11 guys got the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. And we're meeting today because of 11 guys that just submitted to the Lordship of Jesus. Imagine what we could do in this room if we, not just me, if we could submit ourselves and our life and our flesh to Jesus and let his power rule and reign in us. It would radically change our world. It would radically change the world of every person that we come in contact, because God in us changes other people. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you know what it means to recommit. You know what it means to submit ourselves. And Lord, you know exactly where every single person sitting in this room is. Lord, from being the church of the lukewarm, that they have forgotten their first love, to those that are, you know, passionately trying to pursue you, from those that may be in this room that don't even know you, that haven't submitted to your lordship. Lord, you know where all that is. You know where every single one of us stand. And you came and died on the cross. You became our victory on the cross so that we could have that life. And so, Lord, I pray that you would call people out of that lukewarm into a passionate relationship with you. Lord, you would call those that are already pursuing you, already loving you, into a deeper, more intimate relationship with you. And Lord, I pray that those that are in this room that, you know, are, they may not know you, they may not know your goodness and the peace that you bring. Lord, I pray that today would be a day that their eyes would be opened. Lord, that they would see that
It's not a foreign entity that's way off, but literally God the Father loved us so much that He sent His own Son in the flesh to do what we could not, to willingly lead His life up to the cross and die to pay the penalty for our sins. And Lord, I pray that that would be their hope, and Lord, that would be our hope that we stand in. And Lord, I pray this week, Lord, as we lead up to starting our 21 days of prayer and fasting, Lord, I pray that You would speak. Lord, I pray that You would begin to implant in our brain things in ways that You want us to battle the flesh, that You want us to reclaim ownership over our life, and Lord, that You want to allow the Holy Spirit to rule and reign. And so, Lord, I pray that You would clear our ears, that we could hear You, would open and soften our hearts, that we would receive You. And Lord, I pray that You would just make us ready to say yes and amen to all that You say. And so, Lord, we love You. Thank You for being patient. Thank You for being long-suffering. Thank You for calling us children. We pray all these things in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. Amen.